Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to deal with the serial killer fan fiction part of the show. I'm joined by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team, what's good? It's the day we talk about the serial killer fan fiction party, which is wow. They do it a bunch of times at once. Yeah,
it's great.
That's a great way to put it. It's very cool, and everyone likes it, and no one is mad about it at all.
Yeah, I think it's like it's what I would describe as like a milestone in cinematography. It will be referenced for decades to come, if not centuries.
It's like the Citizen Kane of like murderer apologia.
You know,
for some reason,
it's very rare that I could say like, "Here's a piece of media that there's nothing wrong with and just was executed flawlessly." You know, but
yeah,
here it is. Like, kudos.
Here it is.
Kudos, American Horror Story.
So we left y'all off with John getting owned for not being a real alcoholic, I guess. Or
alcohol maxing, still, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Where he was like, sorry, I don't drink anymore. And my wife just says it's because I have a control issue. So give me that.
Yeah, basically. And she like said it to his face. She was like, you don't drink enough. You aren't a real alcoholic, poser, loser. Do some alcohol about it. And he was like, well... guess I'll do some alcohol about it to own my bitch ex-wife, or soon-to-be bitch ex-wife.
Double martini. Bring it on.
Yum. Is that... I'm not really, like, a big alcohol person. Is double martini, like, extra alcohol?
It's nonsense, because... I was a martini drinker back in the day, and, like, if you went to a nice place, you get a martini, which is basically, like, straight gin or straight vodka with a tiny bit of vermouth, and that's a martini. So if you say, give me a double martini, it's basically like, I'll have two drinks, you know?
But
my big boy cup.
You kind of don't need to, though, because a martini, it's close to straight liquor as
that's
you can
really
get.
The big thing. Yeah, usually when you order a double, it's because you want, like, a more complicated drink with multiple ingredients to just be, like, more alcohol compared to the other ingredients, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, a double whiskey Coke is, like, mostly whiskey with, like, a thought of Coke afterwards, as opposed to, like, a default one, which would be, like, more 50-50. And, yeah, as Slow Beef has pointed out, a martini is, like... just alcohol. It's not, there's not really, like, I can put only one olive in a bigger cup if you want. That's really it.
Yeah.
Give me one really big olive. That's what double martini means. You have to give me an olive the size of my fist.
But yeah, it's like, it's wild because you could, I guess, technically be like, I want it extra dry, meaning, like, rather than the slightly less proof alcohol, like, give me more of the other, but then just get vodka on the rocks if you're really, and double that, or, you know.
I imagine the reason why they had him do it was just to, like, throw out something that sounded like what a real alcoholic would, like, go for, without him just being like, if it was me writing this character, because I'm better at writing characters than the writers of this show, I would simply have him be like, give me, like, a, I don't know, some whatever alcohol, vodka on the rocks, and leave the bottle or something like that. Like something a little more extreme than just give me a very popular beverage.
Or I'm going to go.
Yeah, like bring me a bottle of Everclear and a bottle of mouthwash and I'll see you in a week.
Yeah. Or if, like, you know what? It's like, okay, the best thing to do is I'm just going to save my money, go to a liquor store across the street and buy a bottle of something. You know what I mean? And just there you go.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But you know what's extra funny about all this and the bad writing is that because he's written so poorly and because that interaction is so stupid, we are also now doubting how valid of an alcoholic John Lowe is. So maybe he's just a loser.
No, you kind of got me on that one,
Yeah, shit. Mm-hmm. So, John goes to the elevator, I believe, is where he first runs into...
No, not yet. Not yet. God, I wish.
That's right. She's at the bar, right?
He's just hanging out, and then he gets accosted by our first character, TM. Hence the title of my note here. It's time for the serial killer dinner party. So
Eileen Wuornos, like, was a real lady, yeah? Mm-hmm. And was, from what I understand, like, did not, like, do killing gleefully or, like, with a sadistic glee or joy. It was, like, largely self-defense due to, like, having really big issues and being, like, sex trafficked a bunch. Is that about right?
Yeah, pretty close. So, what? Like, first and foremost, she's a very identifiable murderer because she has had many films made about her, the most popular one being Monster, which, again, like, a lot of the stuff that's about her is fictionalized, but there is a lot of, like, truth there. Ultimately, like, the best way to describe her, the person, was a deeply mentally ill woman who was horrifically abused in childhood, who carried a lot of trauma and then got into sex work very young, and then was abused during that sex work and started off by killing the people who were abusing her. And then from that point on, it's kind of one of those things where you have to take her at her word, but she is very mentally ill. She said that everybody else that she killed, it was in self-defense. There's not, like, a way to verify that because the only person who can tell the story is her.
Either way, it's, like, a very sad story, no matter how you slice it.
Yes,
like,
it's a
very, like, this is, I can't believe society did this. You know, like, this, yeah.
If I were to, not to spoil things, but if I were to, like, write her in something, I probably would not pair her with Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know why I'm throwing that out there. That just seems really distasteful and weird to try to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Ultimately, let me say it now while I'm still, like, thinking about it in a way that it will come out correctly. For the rest of, basically the rest of the episode, we're going to be talking about real serial killers a lot. And when I say if I was making the Avengers of serial killers, there's a lot you can pick from that are super, super identifiable and the public knows who they are. If I was assembling an assembled cast of serial killers to make fictional characters, which I would never do, but if I was, I would not pick the woman who arguably does not even classically fall under the category of serial killer, because the rest of the people that are chosen for this particular event are people who definitely did it for funsies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's not great that she's here. And I have the feeling if it weren't for the popular Charlize Theron movie that we talked about and that came out, I think, around this time, that she probably wouldn't have been here, or they were kind of doing, like, well, we need a lady, so, you know.
They could have done, well, never mind. I was going to say they could have done Elizabeth Bathory if they were so horny for her, but they already basically have her in the show currently, so that's not, I guess that wouldn't have worked.
But then we could have had Lady Gaga fight Lady Bathory.
That would have been really cool.
Sick.
Both named Elizabeth, a Liz fight as another Liz. I think that would have kicked ass. Yeah, I think that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I'm into this.
Also, another thing is I think they needed a role for Lily Robb this season. Regrettably, they make her play Eileen Wuornos. And you know what? For what it's worth, does she give a Charlize Theron performance? No. Does she do a fine job for what it is that she's doing? Sure. She's Lily Robb.
Sure.
The character and the real person should not be here. Her more than any
Correct.
Of the people that are here. But she does like a fine job. If you were to ask somebody, I don't know why you would. It would be fucked up. But if you were to ask somebody to do an Eileen Wuornos impression, she does a pretty okay job. Yeah.
Which I think that segues pretty nicely into the next bit, which is John talks to her about it, and she drops a line about how, like, I'm the real serial killers or the cops or whatever, which, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And then John recognizes, which this is insane, John recognizes her costume as Eileen, like, doesn't recognize that it is Eileen Wuornos, but somehow recognizes that it's a costume of Eileen Wuornos. And instead of being like, wow, that's really fucked up, you probably shouldn't dress as that person, is just like, nice costume.
He's like hyped about it. He's like, whoa, that's a really good costume. Okay, at first, I've said before that like when I'm writing notes, sometimes I'll get ahead of myself and write a note, and then whatever happens immediately afterwards answers whatever my note was going to be about. And I had to do that here because before John said that, I was like, how is this detective who we're supposed to believe is like the best detective of all time sitting here next to this woman and not clocking that she is, at the very least, a woman dressed like Eileen Wuornos on not Halloween? Cannot overstate enough that it is not Halloween.
It's not Halloween. Yeah.
Right.
And then he immediately was like,
Halloween.
Immediately yeah. He was like, oh, that's such a sick, dope costume of Eileen Wuornos. Wow, that was so cool. You're so good at this. And I'm like, all right, well, that answers that. But also, why would he think someone did that and think it was cool? Why would he be like, oh, that's sick? Like, yeah. No, I think society has kind of moved like past that. Like, people don't love when you like dress up as like real committers of crime.
Also, like, yeah, cops famously, like, they like seeing like a little kid dressed up as a cop and being like, oh, you're going to be like me when you grow up. They don't like that would be like Jesus seeing someone dressed as the devil and being like, pog, devil mention.
Hey, I love that guy.
Really. Yo, it's that dude.
My best buddy. Yeah, it's very strange. And his reaction is very strange. It's going to get, listener, you're not going to believe this. It's going to get so much worse.
He
thinks, again, remember, at this point, he thinks that she is a woman who is cosplaying Eileen Wuornos. And if for whatever reason you don't know who Eileen Wuornos is, you've never seen her, I will say she is not presented as like a sex object. She doesn't really present in a like a seductress way. That might be important in a few minutes. You can hope that it's not going to be, but you would be wrong.
Why do you have hope in this show?
Yeah. You might be thinking, oh, well, surely this isn't going where I think it's going. Well, we'll see. But before that, he's like, oh, Eileen Wuornos, like, blah, 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 blah. And she, like, starts doing her thing, which when she was in prison, it's like on the record quite publicly. She did a lot of, like, interviews. She was quite mentally ill. And was not getting the care she needed in prison and was saying all sorts of crazy shit all the time in prison. But mostly, like, there was always kind of, just like with, like, the murder stuff, there was always kind of a grain of truth of, like, I'm being mistreated in here, like, stuff like that. And, like, there's always been a little bit of truth to whatever she says. And so she starts like talking her shit, like the real Eileen Wuornos, about how like the cops are the real serial killers, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, oh, well, Eileen Wuornos like killed all those men. They weren't all like dangerous or whatever. And she's like, well, on the day I met them, they were dangerous to me, which is like, whatever, I guess. I don't know if this show is trying to the show cannot decide if they want to make her like a nasty lady who loves killing people, or if they want us to be sympathetic towards Eileen Wuornos, which, like, you definitely probably want to lean towards the second one, given the specific, like, delicacy of the nature of her situation. But you definitely, definitely don't want to side on the other side.
How can I not fuck her? That's the big thing you should be thinking.
Yeah.
If you were John, how could you not fuck her right now? Which you, the listener, might think, you know, if you haven't watched the episode, you might be like, that sounds like the opposite. Why would he want, that sounds nuts. Why would he want to? That's a great question. He does.
He so does. And like before he does that, he like mansplains her own crimes to her, which even if it was like she was a lady cosplaying Eileen Wuornos, weird thing to do. Yeah, weird thing to do to Eileen Wuornos. It's like it's the most extreme and weird version of like going up to someone wearing a band shirt and being, you know, like, name three songs.
It's weird too that we're, it's a weird thing to do to Eileen Wuornos, but it absolutely is, you know? Like, it's so strange that, like, we're talking about, like, because we know it's really her, right? Like, you know, I think the viewer understands that too, basically, even if they're not, you know? Like, nobody's thinking, like, wow, it really is an Eileen Wuornos, like, costume person, you know? But, like, And still, yes, it's so weird what's going on with this. Yeah. But anyway.
And then after, like, he gets on his little soapbox about, like, how her crimes were justified and how her Johns were, like, good people, actually, because he definitely knows. She's like, well, do you want me to touch your pee-pee? Like, that's clearly what Eileen Wuornos would do right now. And he's like, you know what? Hell yeah. And, like, slams his drink. And this is at the point, I don't know what we're supposed to be thinking as the audience, but it wasn't, at least on my part, wasn't anything great. And Liz Taylor's like, hey, quick aside here, John. Maybe don't go with that lady. And, like, Liz Taylor, like, voices it in a way she thinks will get through to him, which is like, oh, you're too drunk to see how ugly she is. And that does not work because John's like, I don't care. I'm too drunk. I'm like, you've had one double martini. Maybe you are the worst alcoholic that anyone's ever met, actually. Maybe your wife had a point.
That or he was an extremely effective alcoholic and he does not have much liver left. Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, he, like, really min-maxed it. I guess what they're trying to, like, do with this is be like, oh, well, like, allegedly, that's what Eileen Wuornos would do, is she would, and towards the end of her, like, quote-unquote killing career, would entrap men by, like, seducing them and then claiming they were assaulting her and killing them. Again, that part is neither here nor there because it was never proven either way. But I think that's what the show is trying to do by being like, well, we have to have a way for Eileen Wuornos to attack John. So clearly they have to agree to have sex because Eileen Wuornos wouldn't kill anyone any other way. We're already taking so many creative liberties with a real woman. There's no way we could maybe take more. And then she gets him. They go upstairs and they're going to have sex. And then she pistol whips him and ties him to a chair.
And then he tries one. He's like, maybe I can gaslight her hard enough. One last go. You're not real. The real Eileen Wuornos. She's like, do you still not get this, man?
Can you imagine if he still at this point thought this was a lady cosplaying Eileen Wuornos? Because if she was, if for whatever reason that is what is happening right now, he's getting owned by the single most committed Eileen Wuornos cosplayer that has ever lived in the history of mankind. Hopefully the only one, but, like, definitely the most committed one.
Right, yeah.
This transcends cosplaying and goes into copycat killing.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a different thing, I think. Yeah.
And, like, she ties him to a chair, but he manages to, like, get out of the binds and they start fighting. And he headbutts her, and they're fighting, and she does what I always tell people to do, which means it's an evergreen suggestion, which is to go for his eyeballs. But John has special eyeballs that can survive having thumbs driven into them. And at this point, I had the thought of, okay, so, like, she's a ghost, right? Because all the serial killers who were here are dead. So can you fight ghosts? Can you beat up ghosts? Or better question, because clearly you can, because he is. But, like, does it matter? Do they not just Wolverine regenerate? Or, like, can you actually do physical, tangible, lasting harm to a ghost? Because I feel like that really changes the stakes of the operation. Later, he'll shoot one of them, and they're like, hee-hee, I'm a ghost, eat shit, dummy. But right now, it seems to be that he's beating up a woman, and it's working. And it's weird that the only ghost he fights and it works is a woman. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah. They also, like, they really devalued, like, vampires, too. So, like, who knows? Maybe ghosts just, like, suck ass.
They can die twice.
Maybe, like, yeah, if you die as a ghost, you die in real life, and you go to, that's where you go to the other hell that they found in, like, in Coven or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you get down to Baba Yaga hell or whatever.
We've had so many hells. Yeah, you can, and if you pull the S rank pull, you might accidentally go to the freak hell at the end of Freak Show, where you'll be surrounded by circus performers for the rest of your life.
God damn it. One fear.
You don't want to get that pull. It's like a 0.001% chance. And then he chains her to a sink, which, again, like, she's a ghost. So, like, does that work? I mean, I guess it does, because later we find out that, like, James March had to free her. But, like, so, yeah, the ghosts are even shittier for some reason at the Hotel Cortez than they are. But these are also This is what's confusing, because these are outside ghosts, and they're all of the other seasons of this show have been very adamant that the only day that ghosts can leave wherever it was that they died is, like, Halloween specifically. This isn't Halloween, so, like, is the implication that all of the serial killers died here? Because that doesn't make any sense. See, they said they traveled.
It's better than Halloween. It's Devil's Night, you know? True. The real Halloween. That's the trick, I guess. True. But
Get, like, more... Yeah, because you'd assume a serial killer would be, like, a higher power level ghost, right? If we're talking malevolent spirits, you'd expect a little more juice out of that goose, I think.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
I expect a lot of things in this, you know, but I guess consistency isn't one they're going to start now with. So.
Not with American Horror Story, no.
Right, yeah.
No.
After he chains her up, he starts, like, rummaging through her stuff, and he finds an ID that shows that she's the real lady. And I'm like, okay, you thought she was committed enough to kill you as a cosplayer? You don't think she'd also have a fake ID made that says that she's the real Eileen Wuornos? Like, if you're all in on this lady's cosplaying and she's going to kill me because of how committed she is, if it was me and I was a detective, I'd be like, oh, she made a fake ID also to go with the rest of the stuff she's doing, including the actual copycat killings.
Right. The only person who could have this is a dead person, obviously.
Yeah. There's no way you can make a fake ID. That's illegal. You can't break the law.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, no, that was the real lady. And he goes downstairs where he passes a guy who is dressed in all black with the Zodiac killer symbol on him, who's kind of like...
Okay, to be clear, he's like wearing a full black bag over his head with the Zodiac killer symbol on it. Like, he's fully obscured. He's just toe to tip covered in black cloth. So
yeah, they decided the Zodiac killer looks like a Batman villain for some reason.
So this pisses me off so much for two reasons, but the main one is that during the show... Because they, you know, just because the Zodiac Killer wasn't, like, identified at the time that they made the show, doesn't mean in, like, Ghost World or whatever, like, you know, they wouldn't know what the Zodiac Killer looked like, or he'd get to, like, hide their identity or whatever. So this is, to me, like, just an error, you know? Like, just a silly, stupid thing American Horror Story did. But two seasons later in Cult, they decide to, like... quadruple down on it, if you recall, where they say not only no, the Zodiac Killer does in fact dress like Batman, but it's multiple people who dress like Batman, and they're led by the lady who killed Andy Warhol, and
and was a big feminist, a big radical feminist. Everyone knows this about the Zodiac Killer. We didn't know who he was until like a year ago, but like we knew at that point that he was probably a radical feminist.
Right. So I don't want anyone, because I really patently refuse to even entertain the notion that American Horror Story thought two seasons later we're going to do that. I think they messed up with, like, they did that to show, and then somebody points out later, like, hey, yeah, but, you know, there's no reason you wouldn't know what the Zodiac Killer looked like in Ghost World or whatever the hell they're doing at the serial killer dinner. So then they're like, that's okay, we'll retcon the Zodiac Killer to make American Horror Story work.
It's funny. You bring that up, and I think I said in our group chat, and this will be very important when we get to the actual dinner, which is where we're headed, but, like, what they did essentially was, I think they just picked, like, they Googled, like, famous serial killers, and they picked, like, the five or six they thought that the most people would recognize, and then they established one characteristic for each of them, which for Richard, whatever, his deal was he had to come in through windows, which is not
Richard
his
Ramirez,
deal.
Right, yeah.
They just needed him to have a thing and wearing sunglasses inside. They were like, sunglasses inside, satanic thing on his hand.
Leather jacket.
That's his deal.
Yeah, pentagram on the hand. Yeah.
Eileen Wuornos, they were like, she's a lady. That's all the diversity we need. That's her whole deal, is that
in
she
the
was
words
the lady
of
one.
John, She's a skank.
Yeah.
Which, cool, John. Keep it up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He calls her a skank in like 2 seconds. And we will get to, like, when we get to the thing, each one thing they pick for each of these people. And what's really funny is most of them are just wrong, are just straight up wrong. They, like, picked a thing that wasn't even the real person's deal, and or, like, is a misinterpretation of the real person's deal. And they're going to assign something to the Zodiac Killer specifically when he eventually shows up to the dinner. Because he's, I think, just wandering around right now at the in the hotel lobby. But is the funniest thing they could have possibly implied about this guy.
Yep.
It is just a really, really funny thing to assign to any person as a characteristic, but especially funny that they assign it to this guy. But yeah, so back to skank posting. John's like, Liz Taylor, the skank from the bar tried to kill me. I'm gonna arrest her. She's upstairs in cuffs. And I'm like, why, if you were gonna arrest her, why, you do you not know how to use the handcuffs, John? Like, I know we've been over this.
No, he clearly, absolutely not. Yeah.
No, he doesn't understand that it's to keep someone's arms behind their back because it's, like, very hard to do stuff and, like, run and shit. Yeah, no, he's just like, I like chaining ladies to objects, and I couldn't find a space heater, so sink it in.
Yeah, sometimes the object is themselves, but it's, like, in front, not in the back. And he's like, no one ever taught me how to use the handcuffs, and at this point I'm too afraid to ask. And he's like, yeah, the lady's upstairs. I cuffed her to the sink instead of just arresting her like a normal police officer. And then Liz Taylor's like, oh, if you go back up there, she's like hella not going to be up there. James March wouldn't let you take one of his guests. And then she's like, ghosts are real, dipshit. It's Devil's Night. And Devil's Night's the real Halloween, obviously. Idiot. Everyone knows that. And John just kind of has a look on his face like, oh, okay. And then she's like, oh, by the way, James March is like having a serial killer dinner. And he's like, can I go to it? And she's like, no, you got to be on the list. And then she like checks and he has an invitation. She's like, oh, shit, you're on the list. That's crazy. Have fun at the serial killer dinner. And then he goes to
this insane invitation to accept, by the way, after one of them already tried to kill you. Like, there is no, like, there is a very funny joke in Anthology of the Killer where someone runs up to you and says, don't worry, I'm a murderer. And like, that's what this is someone just being like, hey, you're invited to the dinner that kills you. You want to go?
And John's like, boy, do I.
Yeah, wow, sounds great. Not, is it free? Awesome.
I have to imagine they're just writing this off as being like, well, he's obviously a nasty drunk boy because he had a dirty martini or a double martini or whatever, so of course he can't make rational decisions because you can't.
I thought he had already sobered up at this, but that's the other thing. He's not good at acting drunk, so it's like unclear. The only time it's obvious is when he's like full on stumbling around the room, which is not something you can really do in one drink, but you know, get him, John.
We know John is drunk because he'll have a jug with 3 X's on it, you know? That's
yeah.
That's how you can tell, really.
And his nose will be red. His nose and ears will be red. And his tie will be like a little less, like, it'll be a little looser around his neck. That's how we'll know.
And when Eileen hits him on the head with a table leg, instead of it being little stars, it'll be little pink elephants floating around his head and shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he'll go, oh, he'll make like a funny noise. Yeah. John's going to the serial killer dinner. It's in room 64.
Idiot.
Let's go.
What an idiot.
Yeah. What a ding dong.
What a moron. Holy shit.
And so this was the room his invitation said to go to. And when he gets in there, there's no one in there. Obviously, but there is a suit and that has a note from Liz Taylor that says knock 'em dead. And I'm like, did everybody get the same instructions to come here and like pick up their one outfit? Are they on like a staggered schedule? Does like James March make them all show up like Severance style where they have to be staggered by 5 minutes so everyone can show up and get their fancy outfit? I don't think so, because no one's wearing a fancy outfit when they get to the dinner. It's
no,
just John.
Yeah. Right?
I thought the implication was like Liz like fabricated an invite or something, but then like what's the game plan after that? Like, Liz, you know he can't kill the ghosts. That's not
She just likes it. She likes doing it. It's yeah. funny, and she likes to do it. You may have noticed that for the next note, the UGG is in all caps instead of just some caps. And that's because it's everybody's favorite time, which is
serial killer dinner party. Yeah. Serial killer dinner party.
Yeah, we've gone to a new room, room 73. I don't know why we're doing all this room stuff. But now we're in a different room.
64 was the only one that mattered, right? Like, yeah, that was his room. So. Okay, word.
73 could mean something, but I'm not googling serial killer 73 because I've already had to Google a lot. Of really questionable stuff this week for the show.
If you are trying to think of a number that is random between 0 and 100, other than a bunch of chuckle fucks picking 69, 37 and 73 are the numbers they could pick the most. So there's a good chance they just were trying to think of a random number and fell for human probability once again. And 73.
That's definitely probably what they did. But in there... New real people just dropped, and unfortunately, John Wayne Gacy, who they have made very delightful for some reason, is explaining subflooring to Richard Ramirez, a sentence never before uttered by human history.
They're basically being big nerds about serial killing. You know, it's just like, yeah, you need a subfloor to capture everything. You don't want moisture getting there because then the body's rotten and all that. And it's like, knock it off.
But that
you know,
is what happened, John Wayne Gacy. That's literally why you got busted. Anyway, yeah, and so they're just making light small talk as John comes in, and then Eileen like kind of passes by, and she's like, "Hey, John, sorry, no hard feelings. Sorry for almost murdering you and hitting you with a pistol. Also, fuck cops, ACAB, baby." And then she keeps walking. And then Jeffrey Dahmer is the only one who's not interacting with anybody because he's being a little freak at the dinner table. And I think that it's very interesting that they're like, out of all these people who were definitely very well-adjusted and normal human beings, Jeffrey Dahmer is still weird. Weirder than the rest of them. Jeffrey Dahmer is still a little freak for some reason. More so than the rest of the people who kill people for fun.
That's the thing, you could be like, own Dahmer, but look at the rest of them. So yeah, it's not great, but...
They decided that, like, do you think it's the sex offender thing? Do you think it's that they're just like, yeah, he's a sex offender too, so they, like, really don't like, they don't like his stuff?
No, Richard Ramirez was arguably way worse about the sex offender stuff.
Oh, okay,
so.
Cool, sorry, I don't know the lore, you know how it is.
Yeah, Richard Ramirez was just, like, very hateful. Okay, Jeffrey Dahmer was crazy.
Yeah, the pentagram hand, that'll do it. Yeah. And it is strange to have that. Because, John Wayne Gacy is just a delightful Midwestern dad in this. It's, like, really upsetting how incredible. Like, they're just like, he should be, like, a friendly guy. And everyone else is not for some reason. It's weird. It's a strange choice.
Which, like, I mean, I get it. And, like, that has been said many times throughout, like, the history of there being serial killers, is like tons of people would be like, oh, well, he was just the nicest guy. I would have had no idea. But, like, typically when someone is saying that in an interview, they don't mean like, oh, that guy was so much nicer than every other person. That's crazy. They're just like, oh, he was a normal man who was polite. Like, they don't mean he was, like, delightful.
Yeah, I'm surprised to have learned this about him because he seemed like your average person. Holy crap, you could count on this guy to save your kid's life, you know.
He was a pillar of the community. Like, not usually. Not often.
It's mostly just like, he seemed fine. He seemed pretty okay. It's kind of shocking that he was a serial killer. That's crazy. Meanwhile, when people talk about Jeffrey Dahmer, most people were like, well, yeah, he was, like, a little weird. He was our neighbor that was, like, kind of weird. So maybe that's what they were going for here in American Horror Story.
Right.
And then they all sit at the table because Jeffrey Dahmer is waiting very politely for them. And James March is like, everybody come sit down at your special places at my table. Everyone's going to drink absinthe. Because absinthe sounds cool, I guess. And they associate it with ghosts.
So Absinthe has a legend, like a legend attached to it, that it is the alcohol that makes you hallucinate a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. This is pretty well understood to be bullshit. Every variety of it does not make you hallucinate. It just tastes pretty bad, I'd say. I don't like the flavor of absinthe very much, and it doesn't. The thing is, people are like, whoa, it made me all fucked up. It's like, what? Yeah, it's still like 40% alcohol. Like, yeah, it's still like, it'll get you there. It's not going to make you see fairies and shit, though, which is what was, you know, like often claimed. So
right.
I think they were trying to go for some of that like mysticism angle of right. the absinthe of like, it's the ghost alcohol that makes you hallucinate.
It's that wormwood stuff. I've heard about this, you know, but...
Yeah. Wormwood is commonly cited as like, ooh, there are some hallucinogens in there if you, you know, grind up like 30 pounds of it and then do a bunch of chemical processes to refine it out, you know? So that's the same as just soaking some booze on the wood, yeah?
And as this is going on, James March, who, again, could not more clearly be a ghost man from the early 1900s, surrounded by people that John should know at this point are dead serial killers. Because I'm willing to extend the benefit of the doubt to other characters that aren't a detective and, like, in most media of, like, not knowing who a serial killer is, because there's lots of people who don't know who certain serial killers are. Not everyone's, like, into true crime or whatever. I don't extend that same benefit of the doubt to a detective, one who specializes in serial killers and themed serial killers.
Yeah. Serial killers. Yeah.
He doesn't get to not know who John Wayne Gacy is or Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm sorry. This character does not get to not know who those people are. James March is maybe
you're like the
only
greatest.
One.
If you're the greatest serial killer catching man of all time, yeah, I expect you to be a little Encyclopedia Brown about this shit. Yeah. For sure. Like, at least the big ones, you know, the ones that, like, American Horror Story would know about.
The Avengers, right. Yeah, the serial killer Avengers, exactly. And then, again, James March could not be more obviously an old-timey ghost. Who John knows exists because he had his whole lore explained to him by Iris like 2 episodes ago. And I don't think it would be too hard to put 2 and 2 together that, oh, these are all ghosts of serial killers. And I was told about a famous serial killer who built this hotel, who died in the early 1900s and was an old-timey guy. Maybe this is that guy.
What's going on here, though?
Yeah. Laura, who are you? James March is dead. You're not the real James March. Whatever, John.
Here's the thing. I think I would give him like a little more benefit of the doubt of being really stupid and thinking this is like the most elaborate prank of all time if one of them didn't already try to kill him, knock him out, and tie him to a chair. Like, you kind of got to take it seriously at that point, I think.
Right?
I think that's like the line. Like, oh, you hit me with like a table leg and almost killed me. Okay, so this is real now.
I mean, I think like at the very least, the other alternative is that he truly believes these are all people who are like hardcore LARPing as serial killers. And like you said, one of them already tried to do actual tangible physical harm to him. So like at the very least, I would expect him to be like, you're all fucking freaks and I'm arresting all of you so you don't do something fucked up.
Treat them all like a collection of serial killers, because I mean, hey, if there's a room full of 7 one-to-one copies of serial killers, that means there's a room full of 7 serial killers, man. You gotta be careful.
Yeah, and it's not like one of them didn't already try to kill you. She did. So like, you have it on good authority, the authority being that it happened to you, that they're gonna try and hurt people.
Yeah. So like, this is a case of John fucked around and found out, which everyone's allowed to do once. I won't blame, you know, I'll give anyone a pass on one. But then he's like, I'm going to fuck around an additional time. It's like, you can't, man. You got to stop.
I'm going to keep fucking once, around.
Shame on me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck around twice. Shame on you.
Fuck around twice. Shame on me again. Fuck around 3 times. My name is John Lowe and I'm not very bright.
And I love fucking around, yeah. And I will never find out.
I keep finding out, actually, but I never learn my lesson from it. Yeah, and then he's like, or you're not James March, he's dead. And then James March is like, cops only care about evidence unless it fits their narrative. And I'm like, based. I don't know why they made the serial killers based, but whatever. And then this is where our good friend, the Zodiac Killer, stumbles in. He's late. And then this is where they assign the funniest characteristic they could to this person by having Richard Ramirez be like, he was too busy off writing letters, which is so fucking funny because that implies that the Zodiac Killer, no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing, whether he has any prior engagements, he cannot fucking stop himself from writing letters. This man has to go write some fucking letters.
It also kind of implies that, like, he started killing just so he had more people to write letters to. Like, because, like, that's the thing, right? They're saying, like, this is the crux of why he did violence is because he can't stop writing letters.
He has to have people to write letters to, so that's why he became a serial killer that writes letters, so that he can make little funny crosswords for people.
Obviously.
It's just so funny. It's such a funny thing to imply.
Kevin would have loved email.
Yeah. Oh, Wordle? Fuck off. He would have loved Wordle. Yeah. And the other part is they have Richard Ramirez be like, he's late. He was too busy writing letters, which implies that, like, this is what he's known for. Like, when the Zodiac Killer's not around and he's late, everyone's like, ugh, this fucking guy off writing his letters. What's new? Again... so fucking funny for them to, because I know they didn't do it intentionally. It's just so funny.
It's also not what he's really known for. Like, no. I feel like that's the thing. Like, later you'd be like, I guess he did write letters. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Was like the fact that he taunted the media and the police. It was less like the medium and more like what he was doing.
Yeah, he wasn't like doing the movie Seven or anything. Like, he was just like, he would sometimes write letters to the police and be like, solve my riddles, Batman, but like real.
It's like if somebody said, like, remember the Unabomber? Oh, yeah, the guy who wrote all those articles in the newspaper. Yeah. That's the thing he's known for, right?
The one thing everyone knows about him. That's crazy. Yeah. And
probably just a cool screen name.
Yeah.
I would have called him the Uniwriter, personally, but whatever.
Wasn't as cool. Ugh. And now John Wayne Gacy, who, by the way, John Wayne Gacy is played by Twisties actor John Carroll Lynch. Because, again, this show cannot decide if it wants to be even a little bit historically accurate or if they just want to pick a thing. And they have decided that John Wayne Gacy's thing is clown. I can't fully fault them for that because the media at large has also largely locked into the clown thing. But we'll discuss in a little while why that's dumb. But they were like, yeah, have our guy who played the clown in the last season play the clown again in this season. And he plays John Wayne Gacy, and he does such a, like, parody-ass job of being the most delightful, silly, goofy, funny fella that it's a bit.
He legitimately, like, he reminds me of one of my friends back in Indiana's dad who was, like, legitimately like a pillar of the community, was like beloved by the church, beloved by everyone. I love the guy. He was awesome. Helped with the youth groups. He would like help counsel kids. Guy was amazing. And he just like, he's doing that, which then he's like, oh yeah, he was also a nasty serial killer. I'm like, I don't think Mr. Boggs is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, would that be fucked up or what? It was American Horror Story. That was a real man who did real crimes. We don't have to imagine it. It was real. And that he's just being a delightful fella at the table. And then Jeffrey Dahmer is weird and mousy. By the way, fun fact, question mark, Ryan Murphy would then go on to make a bunch of series about various serial killers, like docu-series, quote unquote. Uh-huh. And Dahmer was the first one that he made one about. He's like always wanted to do true crime stuff.
It was Evan Peters, right?
It was Evan Peters, yeah.
Yeah, it was Evan Peters. I guess he's always wanted to do true crime, and he got stuck with making fiction, so he decided to be bad at both of them, because people didn't really like that either.
He also did American Crime Stories, like two seasons of them that I think were pretty like lackluster. Like they didn't really go anywhere, you know. Like,
and this newest thing that he and I think Brad Volchek was also involved in, the Menendez brothers thing, is widely hated, like very much so not liked because of how awful he handled it and how many liberties he took with these real people's story who are still alive. Yeah, he doesn't do like a great job at true crime, turns out. But yeah, now John knows how each one of these people died and when, because they all go around the table saying it for some reason. And then he's like, is this a Halloween trick? And I'm like, John, at this point, shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like,
are you, hey, are you pranking me, bro? Like, he's so deep in the hole that him just being like, is this a nasty Halloween trick? Is this a trick or treat? I'm over it.
Am I getting tricked instead of treated? I wanted a treat. This is a trick, and I'm not. I don't think I like it very much.
Yeah. Yeah, what a idiot. Like, it already was, like, out the window as soon as he was like, serial killer dinner? Don't mind if I do. Then, like, it's only gone downhill from there somehow.
Also, then again, he's like, is this a Halloween trick? I'm like, it's not Halloween. You don't get to, like, do Halloween stuff on Halloween. It's not like a long weekend you take. Halloween's a very specific night for, like, very specific activities. You can't, like, be like, oh, it's October 13th. Is this a Halloween prank? Like, no, that's not how it works.
It's like my dad being like, yeah, it's my birthday week. It's like, you don't get to do that, man.
At this point, it's just a trick. It's not a Halloween trick. And then, like, all of the...
stolen Halloween valor.
Yeah, stolen Halloween valor. And then, like, then they all go around the table and share about how, like, James March is, like, the best serial killer ever, and he's, like, the mentor for every serial killer, and every serial killer somehow ended up at the Hotel Cortez and, like, hung out with him, and he would teach them how to be a better serial killer or whatever.
It's like a bunch of stupid convolutions of, like, oh, my motorcycle broke down and every other hotel was full, and then Mr. March taught me how to serial kill, and now I'm the best, and, like, it just, imagine that exact like story like six times, because that's basically what they do.
But, and like copy and pasted, but with like a few details changed, so it makes sense why that specific person ended up there, given that a lot of them were across the country and wouldn't have been in California at any point. Yeah, and then like James March is like, these are the best serial killers that ever lived, and then he proceeds to also simultaneously say how they all fucked up and got caught, and I'm like, well, I guess they weren't that good because they got caught. Womp womp. And then John Wayne Gacy cuffs John to his chair while Richard Ramirez holds up his pentagram hand.
If I remember right, too, when he does it, he's like, yeah, the cuffs are like my thing.
Yeah.
<It's> like,
like, okay, John Wayne Gacy. Yeah. And then Eileen Wuornos explains how she knows Jeff, or knows all of them, and then also James March. And then Jeffrey, who is like kind of quiet and like not really participating, they're like, Jeffrey,
nerd,
it's your turn. Yeah, they're like, Jeffrey, don't just sit there. You have to share your story. And he's like, I'm hungry. And they literally make him, like, pout. They're like, he's like, I'm hungry, and I don't want a salad. And then Eileen makes a joke about him only eating dark meat because he's a cannibal, get it? Like, if we're being gracious, that's the only thing it meant. If we're not being gracious, it's a weird statement about how he mostly cannibalized POC men, which is really fucked up American Horror Story. But I don't know if you're smart enough to know that, frankly.
And you know what? I mean, be even less generous. That's a really weird, disquieting joke that they did in one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, too. So it's not even original kind of racist humor, you know?
So on three counts, American Horror Story has really made a fuck. And they made four counts. They made Eileen Wuornos, the most sympathetic serial killer in all of human history, be the one to make the fucked up joke. Just all counts, the worst thing they could have done. But now it's time for a serial killer dance party, and that's what they're doing. They're all dancing for some reason, I guess, with each other and having, like, a great time. And then March, James March has Miss Evers.
James March is like, hey, Jeffrey Dahmer, I know what you want. You want a strapping young lad. Let me get one out for you. Everyone get around.
And they like bring out a guy who's just like handcuffed and nude. And then just like forced, like I think Jeffrey just like licks his face or some shit. It's unclear. It's like really bad.
They immediately full sell, like they immediately full send Jeffrey Dahmer into weird little freak mode, which like I'm not going to go into too many details because that's not what this podcast is about. But like Jeffrey Dahmer's thing in real life, more or less, was like giving people homemade lobotomies to try and make sure they never left him. Like he wanted like companionship, but he was crazy. And the way he did that was by trying to lobotomize people and like dumping chemicals in their brains to make them.
It was
like,
horrible.
Zombies.
Yeah.
They
really
think
unpleasant.
American Horror Story thinks this is hilarious and great. And so they've decided to make a fella come out here so that Jeffrey Dahmer can like kiss on him a bunch and be like, I'm going to drill a hole in this guy's head so he'll never leave me. And John is like, time for me to shoot a ghost. And he does. And Jeffrey Dahmer's like, I'm a ghost, idiot. Which is confusing. And then he proceeds to do the drill thing on the guy's head. That is, we take a brief, like a brief reprieve, a very brief and confusing reprieve from the actual dinner party, because it's like all of the episode, all of the end of the episode. And we see Sally, who's outside. So I guess she gets to leave the hotel. It's not Halloween. I cannot estate enough times that it's not Halloween, so she shouldn't be able to leave, and there shouldn't be people trick-or-treating, yet here she is outside with a bunch of trick-or-treaters walking around. And then a guy who is named Craig, I don't know why we get a name for him, but his name is Craig, like a guy in a suit walks up to her and is like, hey, do you think those young girls are going to be porn stars or strippers? And I'm like, ah, cool, we got misogyny Craig for 20 seconds of this episode. And then Sally, who's also a well-written female character who participates in misogyny, is like, they're going to end up choking on their own vomit before 25. And I'm like, I don't know who that's about. I don't know who that shot was at.
It's drug overdosing. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably overdosing because that's usually like the way you're assumed to die in a drug overdose. Which, yeah, cool, I guess. What? Like, they were just some kids. Weird.
Yeah, just owning some random teen girls who are, like, trick-or-treating. And then Misogyny Craig is like, Halloween's for losers. And I'm like, that's cool. It's not Halloween.
It's not Halloween.
So I got great news, buddy. It's not Halloween. And then he starts like, we give this character screen time for some reason. And he goes on like a long rant about how good his life is and like how rich he is and like how successful and whatever. And then he's
I'm
like,
I'm a good man.
And a
I
good
make
man.
Money. I have a beautiful family. I'm well liked. I have a reasonably sized cock. And I nothing's more successful than me. Hey, by the way, do you have heroin?
Yeah. Like he propositions her, and it's not clear if he means for sex or drugs, but I'm like, either way, crazy thing to tell the plug, man. Like, yeah. Insane flex on the plug. And then now we're back at the dinner. When I said, like, it was a reprieve, I meant, like, 20 seconds. And now we're back at the dinner. The naked guy has been lobotomized. He's not dead. He's just lobotomized, I guess. And then they all toast. John Wayne Gacy makes a point to make sure that we all know that Johnny Depp likes his paintings. Don't know what that's about, whether that was a weird pot shot at Johnny Depp by the AHS writers or what, why that was mentioned.
This might be a case of, I think they were trying to explain that, like, they are, like, they have succeeded by maintaining cultural relevance by being serial killers, which, like, would almost be a poignant thing to say of like, hey, maybe we shouldn't lift up and celebrate serial killers and like we shouldn't enshrine them in history because that's like a really, 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 really bad thing to incentivize. Like, that's a really bad perverse incentive to have out in society. Which, yeah, would be more poignant if they weren't, you know, like, doing that.
Yeah. Maybe, like, doing the worst iteration of it, which is making them fictionalized and quote-unquote likable fictional characters. Doing, like, the highest caliber of the exact thing they're commentating on. Yeah. Without a shred of self-awareness, not even an iota of self-awareness.
Not zero iotas. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, well, time to go get ready for dessert. And then, they're all like, oh, goody. And Sally walks in, and brings in Misogyny Craig, who is like just high out of his mind. And she's like, he's on heroin. And I'm like, I don't think you really, like, walk around on heroin, right? Like, I think that heroin's a lying down experience. I've never done it, but from everything I've seen, it's like a, you don't really go anywhere.
Not a particularly active experience, yeah.
Yeah, right. And, like, if like someone tried to get you to, if someone, like, tried to get you to go somewhere after doing heroin, you, like, probably wouldn't go with them. It's not mind, it's not mind control. Yeah. But yeah, also, like, they're all hyped to murder somebody, and I'm like, wouldn't they, like, at this point, you could have just, like, murdered, like, or just, like, messed with a dead body. This guy's basically just a dead body already. He's not participating in this. Like, wouldn't the serial killers want a guy who, like, is actively not happy to be there? Because that guy, you basically anesthetized him. He doesn't know what's going on.
Also, like, it feels like serial killers, if they're, like, the pinnacle serial killers or whatever, would, like, have an appreciation of, like, form, build up, that kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. As opposed to just, like, yeah, just, I don't know, stab him with a knife, like, 14 times. That's probably yeah. Good.
How come Richard Ramirez, Richard Ramirez got bonus guys to kill? How come no one else got bonus? Richard Ramirez and... well, Jeffrey Dahmer didn't kill his guy, but, like, he definitely, he might have died, for sure. He's getting his brain drilled on. But, like, how come those guys got, like, bonus fellas to murder, and now everybody has to share this one guy? That seems kind of fucked up. anyway, speaking of just killing one guy, this is where they have decided that John Wayne Gacy's thing was killing people as a murder clown. And I regret to inform you, dear listener, that I can say safely, without a shadow of a doubt, that that's not what John Wayne Gacy's thing was. It wasn't even related to his serial killing. He just sometimes also did clown stuff when he wasn't serial killing. Now, granted, again, I will say I will give AHS a modicum of grace, because a lot of, like, media just kind of gloms on to the clown thing. They're like, he was the clown killer. He wasn't. He was a guy who was a horrific serial killer who killed lots of people. The clown thing is separate.
Be like, he was a horrible clown. Just dog shit clown. That's probably what drove him to kill.
He was a absolutely bathwater, horrendous, bottom zero clown. And that's really anyone can remember about him, is that he was the worst clown of all time.
Don't even bother with this guy.
Yeah.
The guy who writes letters, a guy who climbs through windows, and the worst clown you've ever seen.
Total garbage clown.
Because they've made John Wayne Gacy be the guy who kills people dressed as a clown, which he wasn't. He has to go, like, ooh, it's time to do my thing. And he, like, skitters off to go put his makeup on so he can come back with his makeup on. And I'm like, wow, you really doubled down on that, huh? The most Googleable thing in the world. And then they, like, pass out knives to everybody for some reason, as if those people wouldn't have brought their own knives or own killing implements of whatever kind. Again, cannot overstate enough, Eileen Wuornos was not killing people for fun. Also, all the people she killed, she stabbed, or not stabbed, shot with a gun. So it's very weird to have Eileen Wuornos be like, give me that knife. I can't wait to participate in human sacrificing Misogyny Craig. But that's what they're doing. And then John, who's watching all this, is like, this sucks. I hate this. And Sally teleports him to an empty room and is like, what are you fucking talking about? There's no murderers here. This is an empty room. You drank absinthe and you're hallucinating everything, idiot. You've been in this empty room this whole time, dipshit. And he's like, no, why did you leave me when we were doing hand job stuff that one time? And she's like, whatever, and sends him back to his room. And James March, like, sees it, and I assume based on his weird face he makes, I can't even describe the weird face he makes, but he makes a fucking weird face, that he, like, did not want Sally to do that, and had other plans for John, but he's like, too late, everybody's already stabbing misogyny Craig, so I'll have to deal with that later. And I so badly regret to inform you, dear listener, that there's still more episode left. Yeah. I know you guys probably don't remember, because why would you want to keep this in your brain? But in the last part of our episode, the beginning of this episode of television, Alex was confronted, or she confronted Lady Gaga and was like, why did you steal my baby? And then Lady Gaga was like, because your husband's a shitty dad, which he wasn't, arguably, but whatever. And then Alex is like, okay, I've decided to become a shitty vampire. And then Lady Gaga,
I decided being a vampire is real, and also I want it.
Yeah.
Right, I've decided on both of these things. Me, a woman of science and medicine, has decided that vampires are real. You're definitely one of them, and I'm all in.
Yeah. Now whip out that titty.
And look what this took, too. It's like, hey, I turned your son into, like, a blood-drinking monster. It's like, well, there's obviously nothing I can do for him. Yeah, I might as well be a vampire.
Yeah.
No other options need to be explored.
You'd feel like someone in the medical profession would explicitly be like, oh, it's a virus. Maybe there's, like, a way to cure it. But Lady Gaga's just like, no, there isn't. And she's like, damn, guess there isn't.
Damn, got me there.
Explain it to me, like you'd explain it to a doctor. It checks out, you know.
Yeah, all the math adds up. And then she's like, Lady Gaga, whip out those titties. And Lady Gaga does whip out those titties and, like, makes a cut on her titties. I don't know why it has to be there. I guess I think the writers think this is, like, sexy, which it is, because it's a lady, like, an attractive woman sucking on another attractive woman's titties. Like, I get it. But, like, they've decided that that's the only, it's like how every other form of media has decided if you're doing, like, a blood oath or something that requires blood, you have to cut your palm for some fucking reason.
Right, yeah.
It's the worst place to do it, frankly. It's, like, really, I don't know, it's one of those things that, like, especially because blood oaths come before, like, combat rituals so often, and it's like, bro, I need that hand to grab the sword.
Yeah. And in more tame things that have, like, blood oaths in them, like, you still got to use your hand for stuff. Like, you don't want to have a big cut across your hand. Hate that trope.
Like, what if I need
it
to shoot a gun because I'm in another combat arena after doing another goddamn blood oath, and then the kick really hurts my hand?
That's one of my, like, least favorite tropes. And then they've decided that, like, yeah, or okay, well, we'll cut her on the titty, and then that's what she does. And then Alex does that, and sucks on the titty and drinks the blood, and then she, like, takes a big nap. But, like, she's not moving, so I don't know if the implication is that drinking it while you're alive will kill you. I mean, you kind of have to be alive, because it doesn't revive you, right? But it did revive Iris, which is also confusing.
The stupidest part is, like, it would kill you if these were just regular vampires. I don't know why we had to, like, do this weird, separate, not-quite-vampire thing. Like, damn it, everything's just stupidly confusing.
Yeah, I guess that's the most, like, confusing part about these quote-unquote vampires is, like, so are you undead or not? Like, are these vampires, did they die at some point? Because, like, what's his name? Donovan, he was, like, turbo dead when Lady Gaga revived him. He had, like, hella overdosed and was, like, gone, gonzo, for, like, 10 minutes or more. So, like, he's an undead, but, like, other people that we've seen that have this virus aren't. Like, Tristan? So, like, I don't know.
You, like, stuck at whatever age you're turned at? Because, like...
Right, the kids, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, because, like, the kids are still kids, and Lady Gaga is still, like, Lady Gaga, and it seems like she was in the disco times as well. Is it, like, you're locked in? Because if so, shit deal for the kids. That kid can barely speak.
That's, like, a whole plot point in Interview with the Vampire, which is, like, that was really fucked up that you turned me as a kid. Like, I hate you for that, you know? But, like, yeah, here it's just not clear. In fact, we don't really have enough data, because these kids seem like they've all been turned kind of recently, you know? Like, as far as we can tell, so... Who the hell knows, honestly?
Yeah, and it kind of seems like Lady Gaga's, like, the first person to, like, make vampire babies in this universe. So, like, she doesn't really know either. I don't know. It's very strange. But it doesn't fucking matter because the episode's over.
Yeah. And, like, the thing that's really wild here for me is they had so much time that they could have had, like, Alex have any form of conflict regarding this, like, any kind of interior turmoil. And they didn't. She just, like, saw it and, like, immediately in the next scene is like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, sign me up.
They, like, have it as, like, the... Yeah, it's like the end of episode stinger, like, oh my god, can you believe Alex did that? And I'm like, I mean, like, no, but just because, like, there's no reason she would. Like, it's not a conflict in being like, oh, she made such a hard decision to be with the one kid she likes and not the other kid that she doesn't
like. I know!
Like, are you going to tell that one about being a vampire or, like, fuck Scarlet?
Oh, it's been fuck Scarlet for Alex.
It's so ridiculous, though. Like, it's wild. Because, you know, also,
should have,
like,
smelled like lavender dipshit.
You know, even if you're a horrible person, you also have to kind of think, like, oh, someone's going to expect me to take care of the Scarlet. And also, I just made sure her other parent's an alcoholic, so whoops, you know, like, didn't think ahead here. But
yeah, I made sure that he committed to being an alcoholic this time. Good luck, Scarlet.
Have fun out there, kid.
The print for you, but yeah, right.
Enjoy the bus.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well. Oh, I forgot to check. What is the title of our next episode?
Yeah.
It is. Let's see. Okay, that was Devil's Night, which is cool because that's the day it was.
Not Halloween.
Room service, which I presume is, you know, also Halloween, because, you know, that's what day it has to be if today was Devil's Night.
That's so cool. I can't wait. Well, the good news is we ripped off the Band-Aid. The worst episode is over, so we survived.
Yeah. We're no longer, like, getting everything wrong about serial killers in all of the worst ways possible. We're through that. Whew. Well, till next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hope to see y'all around for room service later.
Have a good one.